right. Sean, we are live. This is the first ever live video podcast that we've had. Never done one of these before, Sean. I don't know how it's gonna look, how it's gonna work, but I don't know. We're swinging the bat here. We're trying to do the best for everyone, and let's see what we got. We got some Red Sox today. Sean's making me do Red Sox, but we do have to do it at some point. But you know what? We got a few. You know, my followers got me, Sean. They got my back. We have a few listener questions at the end that have to do with the Celtics. So that's how we're getting in there. That's how I'm sliding the Celtics into every single episode. Even when we have Red Sox player Chris Sale and Red Sox coach Alex Cora on the artwork of this podcast. So, Sean, how are we doing for the first live Boss Talk?
Yeah, I feel like a movie star. It's a little unsettling looking up at the computer and seeing my face, but overall, I'm feeling pretty cool about this. I'm excited. It's nice to look at the statues you got going on behind you. It's good to see who I'm working with here.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. We got a little Larry Legend in the house up there. So we can, Sean. Let's give a little background on what we got going on right now. So the Boss Talk, because I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with it, but the Boss Talk is usually audio, right? We've done live shows before, but it's never been video before. We've never had Boss Talk video content, and we finally have it. We finally have it. So this is a podcast that we have on GuyBostonSports.com where Sean and I discuss Boston sports and Sean's just ridiculous life, like when he gets involved with older men in the black market. If you haven't heard that, make sure to check out like one of our episodes, because Sean,
I'm gonna have to re-listen to that one because that's a memory I don't remember.
But we digress. We can get into it. Sean, Xander Bogaerts last night. You were just tweeting about, like, what was it earlier? You were tweeting about how maybe they won't pay him and they'll go get someone else.
Yeah, I tweeted a few hours before they signed him because they're trying to make me look like an asshole. I said, what if the Red Sox just wait out for Francisco Lindor? He'll be 28. He'll be a free agent in, I believe, 2021 or 2022, and they just let Xander walk. And some people agreed with me. They said they'd heard that same thing on ESPN. And then 4 hours later, Evan Drellick, who deserves a job still, not sure if he got hired yet, but he reports that the Red Sox are closing in on a contract extension with Xander Bogaerts. And then everyone starts coming out of the woods, bringing my tweet back from just 3 hours before. I thought it was a fair thought. I had no idea they were going to sign Xander Bogaerts to a 7-year extension. Nobody saw that coming.
No.
Except Xander Bogaerts. Scott Boras, his free agents always go to free agency. What the hell was that? I'm all for it, but it made me look like an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, it's typical you. You are the master of either being spot on with your predictions, right? You're either spot on with your predictions or you're a jinx.
There's no in between.
No in between. And I've seen it before. I've seen you predict something, and then I've seen you also predict something and just not be right. Like, should we flash back to Clay Buchholz will be a Cy Young Award winner in Philadelphia? Was that you?
Yeah, that was definitely me. That was one of the boldest things I've written. And I felt good about it for some reason because he's shown flashes. But, like, first pitch, he tore his UCL, and that was it. And people definitely remember that article I wrote about him.
Yeah, I mean, you probably still get it now. I mean, it is, rightfully so, it is a fairly ridiculous take, looking back on it now. It's not the best.
Shoot a shot. You go for it sometimes.
Yeah. So, but Xander got paid. So what do you think that means for the future of the Red Sox? Are you in the camp of why do we just give this guy so much money? He hasn't performed like he was supposed to coming up. Or are you in the camp that you like how he's played? You like that we've kind of locked him down now? You're okay with the money because, what was it, 120 over six?
Yeah, I think they added on, so it comes like 7 for 132, and it comes about $18.5 million a year. You don't find many shortstop like Xander Bogaerts. He's a tall guy. He's got some power. He's going to drive in 100 runs, and he's a pretty good – he's not bad defensive shortstop. You don't find many of those, and I thought we were going to lose him, so it's not a bad idea to lock him up for that amount of money because he could have got a lot more in the free agent market. You know, sometimes he gets hurt, but I think it's a good chance to take because you're not going to get another Nomar Garciaparra. You're not going to get another Xander Bogaerts for a while. It's very, very rare to find a good shortstop. And look at Manny Machado. He just got $300 million. I don't think he's that much better than Xander Bogaerts. he doesn't hustle it whatsoever, and I think that brings his value down, but not to the Padres. So to lock him up right now completely threw me off, and it's kind of surprising because they just locked up Chris Sale for $145 million too. So MLB is getting really weird this season with locking up guys before they hit free agency. How are you feeling about Xander staying here long term?
I'm okay with it, and it's pretty much strictly like what you said, that he's going to be worth more money. So it's almost like you got him for, I mean, not in actuality, but you got him for pennies on the dollar. It's they're not the same caliber player, but in my mind, it's a little bit similar to if you were to get Mookie for that 8 and 200. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a lot of money, but you know what? That guy was, it will be worth so much more. We've seen it play out with Mookie. Now, I'm not saying Xander Bogaerts is on pace to be one of the best baseball players of all time, but doesn't matter. If they say they did choose to re-sign him, right, it would be more money. So that's where I totally agree with you. I think they're kind of, not to be the bearer of bad news here, but I think they're kind of locking up guys thinking that Mookie might not be coming back, so they don't want to miss out on some of these guys.
You couldn't afford to lose Mookie and Xander.
Right.
And there's no backup plan for Xander. Who's another shortstop coming up through the system? Nobody.
Right. And you know what? As Xander, the only negatives people really say about Xander is, one, I guess he does get injured. But two, it's like he hasn't lived up to what he's supposed to be. I feel like that's a huge one. It's like, okay, well, he's still fairly young. Let's see what he's got. He's clearly an above-average shortstop. I mean, you have this guy now for 6 years. And it's not like you just signed Joe Schmo. That's what I'm thinking. So I am okay with it. I think it's okay. I think it's a plenty positive direction for the team. Trying to lock these guys down, like Sale, like Bogaerts, and just making sure they have them. So if Mookie does decide to bounce, it's not like the team got blown up.
And you're getting Xander in his prime years for 27 through 32 or so. And he can opt out at some point. But even if you pay him the $18 million a year, It's like that's the greatest point of his career that you're going to have him for. And to get him for that cheap is an excellent bargain. And thinking about losing Mookie, I don't think if we lose him, you should not blame Xander Bogaerts. Mookie's asking for a lot, and it doesn't seem like he's going to wait around and do an extension during the season. Xander Bogaerts wanted to get this done. This is all he has known since he was 16 years old. He signed here as an international free agent from Aruba. Boston is his home, and for him to sign during the season with Scott Boras as agent, you know this was all Xander Bogaerts' idea.
Yep.
Boras would never let a 27-year-old, 6'4", power-hitting shortstop sign during the season. This is all Bogaerts, and I love him for that.
Yeah, it tells me that he wants to be here too, which is we can't necessarily say about Mookie right now. I will say we have a few comments coming in through the stream chat. We will be getting to questions and comments and stuff like that towards the end of the episode. So unlike my Celtics post-game streams that Sean just chooses not to watch because he doesn't want to support anything I do unless it's the boss talk.
I leave a good amount of questions in there.
Yeah.
1,000 hearts.
All right. But we'll be getting to some of the questions later on. And we do have a couple questions just from Twitter itself. Before we even knew we were doing this, this is such a spur-of-the-moment thing. Sean and I were like, should we do a live show? And Sean's like, yeah, we might. And I was like, oh, we should try it. And then all of a sudden, it just clicked. And I was like, hey, Sean, you're at the gym, right? Coming home all sweaty. We're doing a video. So make sure to get that makeup on.
Gotta look fresh for the video.
All right, so what about this starting? What about the starting pitching here?
Absolute garbage. I thought we had one of the best rotations in baseball going into the season. I know it's only been four games, but they come out, Porcello gives up nine runs altogether. Sale gives up seven. Eovaldi gives up six, I believe. This is one of the worst starts I have ever seen at rotation. Last year, they started out, every pitcher gave up maybe one run or less through the first couple turns. It was unbelievable. And now the bullpen doesn't even look that bad.
No, yeah.
So everything that we assumed, it was all wrong.
I know. I think I saw today that the starting pitching ERA cumulatively was like 13.6 or something.
Not where you want to be.
It's not going to get it done. And you know what I realized?
Absolutely not. And the offense hasn't been that bad.
No, they lost in a couple shootouts. But Sean, I noticed that in the topics here on the stream, I misspelled pitching. I said starting pitstings stinks. I'm okay with it though, because they've been so bad. They don't deserve for me to spell pitching correctly. So
no, we're not gonna double. We're not gonna double check that. They're not gonna try hard.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm not spell checking Grammarly or whatever it is for the pitching. I mean, maybe if we're talking about like I did Xander. Xander, I spelled correctly. So there you go. But now it's kind of funny because all over Twitter, like Chris Sale, what struck out two of the three of the first four or something like that, and everyone's like, oh yeah, let's go back to back, and then just shortly after. Dead, like dead fish. They barely scraped away one win against the Mariners. So
very lucky for that win.
Yeah, but like you mentioned, the bullpen hasn't even been the issue. It's kind of funny. Like that was what I think we talked about in one of our earlier episodes, right? We kind of talked about briefly about the bullpen and how that is going to be the Achilles heel of this team. And you know what, Sean? Doesn't look like we're right about that either, because so far we're only four games in. We have to keep it all in perspective, but we're only four games in, and that hasn't been the issue. It's been the starting pitching, which is just ironic. The fact that us and everyone else is saying this bullpen has nothing. Who are guys like you even brought up a guy's name. And you're like, I don't even know him. I remember that in the episode. So
it was Colton Brewer. Yeah. Who actually looked pretty good the other night.
There we go. So,
and we can only react. We don't get to play. We don't manage. So yep. We just sit here and talk. They get millions of dollars. They can handle it. And, you know, I think Corum probably heard all the shit everyone's talking about the bullpen, and he went up to his starters like, yo, you guys need to suck. You guys need to take some attention away from this bullpen. Just kind of just be really bad for a couple weeks. Let them kind of ease their way in, and then you can get back with your bad selves and get five Cy Youngs.
So you think, yeah, you think Cora is this mastermind? He's
brilliant.
So he's having the Red Sox play possum. Don't let everyone realize that you're really good. We'll let the hype go down, and all of a sudden, boom, we knock him out. Is that the plan?
It's April now. March doesn't count. That was spring training, as far as you ask me. April 1st, that's when the season starts, versus the Oakland Athletics. I have an Oakland Athletics hat. Don't ask me why. I'm not going to wear it because that's a sin. But taking him down.
All right,
season starts today.
Now, hopefully that's a good prediction. Hopefully that's a good prediction there, and that's actually going to ring true. Sean, let me ask you a question. Are you worried about this season at all?
No, I'd feel crazy if I say I was worried already.
All right,
because if the offense looked like shit, I might be a little worried, but it's you never can tell. It's not going to be like last year where they didn't lose their third game until the 20th game of the season.
Right.
That was just unreal.
Yeah, so let me stop the action here a little bit and bring in our shirt of the week. Sean, shirt of the week has been oddly successful the past couple episodes. This one, we came out today with a Ain't Worried About Boston, or I Ain't Worried About Boston shirt. It's a Red Sox shirt. We might be releasing it in Celtics colors depending on the performance of the Red Sox shirt. And with the code TALK at guybostonsports.com/store, with the code TALK, it's just TALK. It is our shirt of the week. It'll take 20% off of your order. The shirt is only $15. It's already only $15, Sean. I don't know why we're doing this. We're just burning holes in our pockets, giving these people quality material. It's cotton. It's ring-spun quality cotton. We're putting it on your backs. We're taking... not really our shirts off our backs. We're taking a shirt off the shelf and putting it on your back because we are generous. So you can
it's basically a free giveaway.
Except you got to pay $13. So
yeah, just ignore that fact. We should probably get a shirt that says you should definitely be worried about the Boston Celtics.
Relax. We'll get to the Celtics in a little bit. But yeah, so let's get back to the Red Sox because you know what? Ain't worried about Boston. I'm not either. So this start, a lot. Of people going on and on about what's happening, what's going on, is this team done? Sean, does this have any, if you had to give it a percentage, and I know you love when I ask you for percentages, because you're a big math guy,
yeah,
you have a percentage for how much this impacts the rest of the season?
It may be like 0.2%.
All right, there we go. Very exact.
I mean, the Yankees just lost 2 out of 3 from the Orioles.
Yeah.
The Rays are 3-1. That's probably not going to withheld, so... not much has really happened so far.
Yeah, I wouldn't, and I was going to bring that up too. The Rays beating the Astros, right? That's who they played?
Yeah.
Baseball fan Evan over here.
Astros are a great team too. They're not going to suck.
Right, so I don't need, if anyone is actually worried, just take a step back and be like, I mean, it's not, think about how the Red Sox played in, what was it, the Boston Marathon year, Boston Strong year? They were in last place like a quarter, maybe more into the season, and then ended up winning it. So baseball, it's a long season. No need.
You could literally lose any game.
Yeah, it's no need to get up in arms about it in the first first weekend, opening day. Although, Sean, if they were to come out there and just punch the Mariners in the mouth and just win all those games, we'd probably be having more fun.
Oh, I'd be booking my World Series tickets.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some listener questions here. Sean, we got a few of them. Let me pull them up. We got a few of them. Guess what? They're Celtics-related and beer-related. One of them's beer-related, coming in from KJ.
Celtics and beer. Great combination this year.
Oh, yeah. All right. You think the Celtics, the reason they're playing like that is because they're drinking beer in the locker room like that old Red Sox team? I might be onto something.
That team is, they're in shape physically, but mentally they're out of shape. There's a lot of beer, but I don't think they're drinking it.
Yeah, they're probably just like throwing it at each other. Like Jalen's pissed at Kyrie and he's like, eh. They throw beer at each other. But
Kyrie's probably chugging kombucha or something.
All right, let's get to this one. It's coming in from, excuse me if I mispronounce this name, but it's coming in from Fikri Ghazi. It's Fikri _Ghazi on Twitter. It's a long one, Sean. We'll pick it apart. We'll pick certain little pieces of it, and then we'll get to it. So first question is, can we talk about Brad Stevens' system and what's most used in this offense? And he talks about pick and rolls and dribble handoffs and stuff. But that's stuff that happens with every single NBA team, the pick and roll, the dribble handoff, the high pick and roll, pick and fade now too. Let's just get into the nitty-gritty of what the shots they're creating. And I'll answer first. They're taking so many three-point shots, or at least it seems like it. This is, when you talk about a system, because pace of play could be different for any other team, the numbers might not always, I actually wish I looked into this, but the numbers might not always back it up. But if you pass the eye, if you try and take the eye test on this Celtics team right now, it seems like they are looking for three-pointers over everything, which is kind of the theme of the NBA. But eye test for you, Sean, you got the glasses. You got four eyes compared to my two. What do you think? Subtle
you know,
eye joke.
The more they miss, the more three it seems like they're taking, because it just sucks to see. And they can play all types of basketball, but sometimes they're just lazy and they try to get back in the game with just one shot. They try to play hero ball. Yeah. Just like they did last year in game 7 against the Cavaliers. Guys like Rozier. I'm just gonna say Rozier. They just need to play better. They need to play as a team. And I love when Baines is driving the hoop. I love when Horford's driving the hoop. And I don't mind a good Horford from the top of the key three-pointer. Don't get me wrong there.
It's got to be at the right time, though.
It's got to be at the right time, of course.
And you know what? He's a really good example to bring up, because he is a guy that does take the correct shot. You know what I mean? He doesn't seem to take the unnecessary three. And he almost might be the only one on the team doing that. Crazy.
Hayward's driving a lot, which I love to see.
Yeah, so that's our first point to Fikri. We'll just get to part of his second one here, and he says he feels like the Celtics are missing a shooter. I talk about this in my stream all the time. If you don't know, I do a Celtics post-game stream, and I'll be doing one tonight. Probably going to look a lot like this unless I put my makeup on. But, Sean, I think the Celtics are one of the only teams in the NBA that just don't have a shooter, whether he's a starter or a bench player. They just don't have, like, this shooter. And it's kind of weird to me, because it almost dawned on me late. You know what I mean? I probably only noticed it like a month ago. Like all of a sudden, oh, they don't have a shooter. What? That's weird. Whereas some teams even have like a scrub on the bench that's a shooter. But the Celtics, absent. They don't have that. Sean, where's the shooter? Do they need you out there?
They would be honored to have me. Well, I kind of thought Semi Ojeleye was going to be that defensive specialist and a three-point specialist.
Yeah, because he showed a little bit of promise shooting last year. But
now I'm not really seeing much from him. He's very athletic. I'll give him that. Daniel Tice, he'll hit some threes once in a while. But after the last couple of years, like, oh, go get Kyle Korver. Every offseason, go get Jamal Crawford. They never do what we want them to do.
No.
They do the exact opposite. And guys like Rozier, they should be hitting more threes. But it's just not happening, and I hope maybe playoff Baines is going to start popping some threes again.
Hopefully.
And Kelly Olynyk's not walking through that door.
We actually just had a comment coming in from Adam saying we need more Baines threes. While we're in the chat here, we have one more question coming in from Twitter, and then we'll get to some of these questions quickly. But he also says the Celtics should bench Marcus Morris. I'm going to say it right now. I think that the playoff lineup is what it was at the beginning of the year with Jaylen Brown and Hayward starting. I think that if that's supposed to be the starting lineup, that's what we all dreamed of. We're so excited to watch. That's what we need. So I don't care because guess what? It was a good Band-Aid. We went on like an 8-game win streak. Celtics went on an 8-game win streak, Sean, when they brought in Marcus's, right? Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris. Well, guess what? They're losing again. They start from that point on. They were starting to lose, so why not go back to the team, the lineup that was losing already? So I totally agree with Adam. I think they should bring back those guys. And Marcus Morris, he's great when he's on, but he has to be on.
We started the year, he thought he was going to be an all-star.
Yeah. And if,
like, what happened to that?
If he kept doing that, I'd be fine with him starting, but he's not. All right, this comes in from Sheila. Sheila Voiles on Twitter. Sheila underscore Voiles.
What's up, Sheila?
What is the key to the Celtics' success, Sean? We probably just hinted at it at some point. What do you think the key to the Celtics' success is?
Honestly, don't even know anymore. It's felt like 7 seasons in 1 season. They just need to get it together. And like Rozier said during an interview, when Kyrie's in a good mood, they play better as a team. So basically, when Kyrie's being an asshole and standoffish, they don't play well together. Everyone's in a bad mood. They're not moving the ball. It's just Kyrie.
Yep.
So if Kyrie's in the moment, he's ready to take this team to at least Eastern Conference Finals, I think they can. But it's going to be all about mindset with this team because this team has so many
minds.
Like, I don't even know. Yeah, the minds. I'm not going to say basketball players don't have minds, but their minds are like,
they
I don't know
minds,
what's going on.
Not necessarily
they're
brains.
They're overthinking things.
Yeah, totally.
But if they get it together, I know it's a lot to ask for, and Gordon Hayward keeps doing what he's doing, I think they could turn it around. Are they going to win a championship this year? Probably not.
Yeah,
it hurts to say.
I agree. I'm past it. Now, I think I've said on a couple episodes of the stream before, I've said if they do go and win it, like, I hope I'm wrong, and I could also see them just all of a sudden flipping a switch. I just don't think they will. So it's not like I'm ready to die on the hill saying they won't win the championship. I just don't think they will, and think is the key word.
Because they flipped that switch last year, and I did not see that coming.
Yeah,
so close.
Right. One more Twitter question here, and then if we don't have, we can close up if we don't have any other questions in the chat here. But if we do have questions, ask your questions now, and we'll get to a few of them. We'll get to the best one. So ask your questions in the chat right now if you want your questions to be answered. Sean? KJ said on Twitter, he said, would I beat Tom Brady in a shotgun or beer chugging competition? And there is no doubt in my mind that I would beat Tom Brady in a chugging competition. Tom Brady can play football better than me. He's taller than me. He has a lot going for him, but you know one thing that he does not have going for him, Sean? Chugging beer faster than me. No chance whatsoever. I would put Tom Brady 7 feet under. Dig an extra foot to put him under.
6 feet deep, 6 rings. You know, I read a rumor, or I heard a rumor, that when Tom Brady used to bring out his offensive lineman to the bar, the bartender would put water in his shot glass, and the lineman would drink the tequila, but Brady would just drink straight water all night,
Which
is really an asshole move.
Yeah, how about that? You're going to chug water while I chug a 8-point-something alcohol content beer, like the what was it, the boom sauce that I
boom
demolished.
Sauce.
Also, Josh on the Guy Boston's staff said that he didn't necessarily call me out, but he said he's been waiting for the right time and place to bring out his shotgun challenge video. Bring it on.
Release it now, Josh.
Bring it on. There's no better time, no better place. Cause guess what? If I do, I said if someone can beat, they have to do one of the beers that I already did and then beat it. So I had a couple DMs that first night where that was probably the best performing view wise. And a couple guys, one guy sent me a video of him absolutely just crushing it. Like, he crushed the beer, but I was like, it's gotta be the same beer, because just like the boom sauce, you can shotgun a Miller Lite way faster than I did the boom sauce. You know what I mean? It's water compared to oil. So you gotta, if you have the same beer, if you do the same exact beer as me and you can demolish my score, then hell yeah, more power to you. You get a free t-shirt.
After I did my video, I can't even show my face around half the town.
Should we
just this week is the first time I haven't heard about it at work. People I don't even know were coming up to me and just asking me, like, you ever drink a beer before? And I would just be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Sean,
and
I think
I'd walk away.
I think I should try and, I think I got it here. I'm going to show it to our viewers live. I mean, I'm sure that most of them have seen it, but here we go. I'm going to hold it up to the camera. I hope that it works. I don't know if it will.
Here comes. I can relive my nightmare.
Let's see what we got here.
I can smell the beer. That guy's pretty handsome. Oh, what is he doing with a fork? Oh, God, no. It's everywhere. Motherfucker.
So that is the live narration of it.
Sean, covered my cat in beer.
I don't know what. I guarantee you Chloe wasn't too thrilled with you after that.
She was not. Not at all. You know, I've never seen anyone do it with a fork before, but I saw you do it. I'm like, he may look pretty easy.
And you then see, it went south. You see what I did the boom quick. Sauce with?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Go back and watch the video. It was like a corner tool that you use when I don't even know what it's called, actually. But all right, guys. We answered some of your questions. We had a little fun. Let us know what you thought of the video. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Boss Talk. And please, definitely let us know what you thought of the video episode, the live video episode. Sean, I'm going to go watch the Celtics.